Charlie Delta November.
K-8, are you in? It's me. Who is me? KF8. KPP. Welcome back. Yep, it's good to be back. We have so much. You appreciate the wide spaces we have here. That's on our bucket list, sooner than later. So, it was one of our trips, London. So my wife is asking me, where? I said, London. That's on our bucket list. Yeah, good place to go once. And I didn't get to see all the stuff you would get to see as a tourist, but I got a good sampling of it. Well, is the fish any good? Because all you ever hear is fish and chips and warm beer. Is that all what it's made out to be? Well, yeah, you can get fish and chips anywhere. And there are a few places that are, like, kind of, like, better than others, like they're more famous for it, or they have a better quality one. But yeah, it's like they're fast food there. It'd be like us saying, like, hey, when you come to the U.S., go to McDonald's. Yeah, and then they never come back. Oh, just kidding. Well, good. Glad it worked out for you. So, yeah, that's on our list. But we're going as a tourist, so. Although next year, I think one of our vendors is sending us to, or requesting us to go to Holland. I think that's the other one. We just got back from Punta Cana. That was one that we did for a company that we represent. They did their annual meeting there, and next year, if they have a good year, they're going to do it in Holland, which I think that'll be exciting. So that'll be something else to put on the thing. But as a tourist, what were the other countries you said? England and something else? What was it? England, Scotland, Ireland. I knew that she had been looking.
Yeah, I mean, what I would do is I would kind of like, you know, if you want to divide your bucket list into two a little bit, I would do one trip for, like, the United Kingdom, you know, Scotland, you know, the United Kingdom including England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and then maybe Ireland, make that one trip, and then another trip, explore continental Europe, because you can go a lot of places on train and see a lot of places, you know, as you're going going to places on a train. I'm glad me and my wife did that back before we had kids. We spent a week and a half going around Europe a little bit.
Yeah, well, we've kicked all our kids out of the house, so now we can go on the other side of it. So, fly, birdies, fly. So, they're all gone. So, that is definitely going to be on the list. Maybe this fall. Like I said, I know it's going to be sooner than later, but she's agreeing with you because, like I said, I've done no research on this. She's kind of like my travel agent. So, she just says, okay, we want to do this, this, and this. And I go, okay. And she hasn't done one yet that I haven't liked. So, I mean, I always fight going, but when I get, once I get there, I go, man, I'm such a putz for not wanting to go. So, I'm going.
Yep, well, expect a lot of walking. and trains are really nice there. I mean, compared to the United States trains, you know, it's a much better experience. And you can even take a train from the UK that goes, you know, through the Channel or whatever, over to the, you know, where France is and all that stuff. But I've never been to France other than airport, you know. They use a lot of butter over there, that's for sure.
Well, that's good to know. Butter fixes everything, doesn't it? Well, very good. All right, sounds good. I take it you didn't go to the breakfast club. Well, you probably got a little bit of jet lag. We're heading towards tornado school. She's infatuated with weather, so she wants to go to the spotter class. So that's where we're heading.
Going west is a lot easier on the jet lag because all you do is you just force yourself to stay up a little bit later, go to sleep, and then wake up normal the next day. So going there is a different situation. I needed 12 hours to recover, but yeah, tornado class. Let's hope you never, ever need to use it and spot anything. But but we're pretty good here in Michigan. We don't get too many.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of nice to see, though. I agree with that. But, you know, I think the biggest part we will get out of this class is when you see something in the sky. I do agree. Usually they're not significant, even if they are anything. Once in a while, there's a couple, three. But, you know, when you look up, you can take and see, yeah, I got to worry about that one. Or, you know, yeah, that's no big deal. So I think that's probably the part that we're looking forward to it. So, although, you know, history has it, back in the 50s sometimes, Chesterfield got hit with an F5 tornado, and I guess it just wrecked it. I mean, it was a monster. And granted, that was like 75, 80 years ago, but you can find some of the news stories and clippings of it. Literally, it lifted all those big wood yachts out of the water and placed them all over Chesterfield. I guess it was quite the fiasco back then. So it could happen again, you know. I mean, I'm not saying it would, but, you know, it's very rare that you would get something that big around here.
As we turn the farmlands into, you know, houses and other obstructions, I think we have less of it. But I think when you have the big open spaces, that's when it really gets some momentum. So like northern Macomb County, I could definitely see there being some tornadoes and stuff over there. The biggest thing I found when I took the spotter training was just being able to differentiate between, you know, the rain bands. You know, if you're looking off in the distance, you kind of see like the rain, like the shadows from the rain, and it kind of looks like a tornado, but it's really just the rain starting in the distance.
Yeah, well, I played volunteer fireman for a little while in my life, about 20 years, so I've been to a handful of these, but even doing that, I've never really seen anything. The only thing I've ever seen was significant lightning, so, but yeah, you're probably right. If you ever saw the real thing, I think you'd get a whole different perspective on life. So, but yeah, that's gonna be fun. So, but yeah, I'm back to the travels. We'll hook up lunch sometime or something like that, and I'll grab a notepad and take notes. So maybe I'll bring Marion with and my travel guide.
Yeah, and some of my information is dated. You know, I went last time I was in continental Europe was like 2010. Yeah, 2010. So a lot has changed. I'm sure the train system is great, but you definitely got to put Venice on your bucket list, and because it's just a weird, unique city. Rome is kind of cool, so you get Rome and Venice. But yeah. But, you know, Internet's got a lot of useful tips, too. So there was no Uber back then, for example.
Yeah, Uber would be a good thing, too, probably. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. So, Rome, cool. Go see the Vatican. That would be kind of neat. Go see that little walk with the Beatles. I think that's kind of where I want to go. My grandfather was born and raised in Cornwall, so that's also on my list. I want to go up there, but I think that's the northern part of England. So that's definitely on the list. Came over here to try to make soccer successful. That was his goal, but it didn't work out. But I guess it worked out because it put a whole bunch of us over here, so I guess in the long run it turned out okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much was my motivation to go to Europe. I wanted to see, like, for example, where Martin Luther put the, you know, I wanted to see where he was at. That was, like, in Wittenberg. That's in East Germany. And it's really interesting to see the contrast between East Germany and West Germany. Even today, even though they're one country, you still see how the East didn't develop as well as the West, and the West is kind of carrying the eastern regions of Germany. But went to Switzerland as well. Switzerland was good, Zurich. But I wanted to see all the stuff, like you're talking, I wanted to see where some of my family started and things like that. So, and you know, going to Italy and Germany, I've checked those off my bucket list.
My work partner's been to Italy. He says that's quite nice, but he's pretty close to Italian. I don't know, but I know that he said that was her dad was from there, so she's been there a couple times. He says that's pretty cool. So, but that'd probably be on a little bit longer list than England stuff. I'm sure that. Yeah, I'm sure they, well, okay, I was just mildly threatened.
Yeah, well, anyways, the biggest takeaway is you plan your trip as far in advance as possible. Make sure that you get refundable tickets in case, you know, life always happens. And it's always cheaper to get tickets months in advance versus, you know, close to it. So, but I feel like the train stuff, like you don't have to get like advanced train tickets over there. I feel like you could just buy them when you get there. I don't think the prices are going to change much. You'll be surprised at how cheap the train tickets are over there. I mean, compared to like airfare and all that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's more mainstream transportation for them. I still think that's one of the things where the U.S. has probably always been lagging was, you know, public transportation. And when we do public transportation, it always seems to be unsafe, you know. So, I mean, even if you look at, like, you know, our city, it would be a perfect candidate for it. But history shows that was Henry Ford's undoing, so, because he wanted to sell cars, so he's done modified us.
Well, you should have sold railway cars, put us all on tracks. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you would never, it's hard to sell railways in Michigan. It's just like we're a car city, you know. We got to keep our reputation as Motor City Capital or whatever. So closest we're going to have is Uber drivers, and maybe at some point we'll be like the first test bed for autonomous vehicles or semi-autonomous vehicles. I don't know if I trust that. The only way autonomous vehicles is going to work is if everybody was in autonomous vehicles, because then it could be all synchronized and everything. But I honestly don't see that ever happening. Maybe in the future, maybe 100 years from now, but I don't know. I can't see short term that we're going to go to a world like that.
Well, I think if her car kind of drives itself, she's got a Subaru that literally you can just put it in cruise control and tell it to stay in the lane, and it kind of does it, and it stops for you, and it does all sorts of other magical things. And like if you've had a few adult cocktails, you just turn it on, and it keeps you in the center of the road and keeps you at the same speed and slows down. It does a lot of fantastic things. But, you know, I think, you know, this autonomous thing, but, you know, my idea of it is that you think about it. So we're building roads, and then you put some sort of wire in the center of each lane, you know, if I mean, and it just transmits a signal, and that will help keep the cars, like, in the center of the lanes. And, you know, because you can do the Scarfield, yeah, you can do the braking and the stuff, you know, with proximity sensors, but, I think if they did something like that, it really wouldn't be that much infrastructure to, say, line the road center with some sort of wire, some sort of signal, some sort of RF, something to keep the car in the center of the lane. Because once in a while, if this thing loses the right lane, the right line, you better have your hand on the wheel, because it's going to take you to the right. I mean, like, wow. Yeah, it throws you fast. So you have to be kind of cognitive of that. And I'm really surprised that, you know, that feature isn't been perfected yet, because one of these days, I imagine it's probably already happened, it's going to throw you in the right lane and you hit somebody.
Yeah, you need something like that, or you need, like, all the cars are part of a mesh, mesh network, you know, we're talking mesh testing, where all the cars are talking to each other and they're synchronizing. There was this animation. It showed, like, it was an intersection, and the cars never stop. They're always, like, if you need to turn left, it's, you know, like, they all talk to each other, and you're able to move left and through the intersections. It was wild, but it's kind of scary at the same time. It's like, yeah, that would be awesome if you could get that working perfectly and flawlessly, but there are so many variables. But, you know, a computer can just calculate that stuff really fast, so... You know, it's plausible, but I don't know if I would trust it. I just have this paranoia for technology. Like, somebody could just, like, jam all the signals, and all of a sudden all the cars would go crazy.
It'll be the new terrorism. All right, Dave, I'm going to let you go. We're pulling into the intermediate school district. We're going to go get edumacated. So you have a good day. Be careful. Glad you're back. Glad everything's safe. We shall chat again about this England thing. N8KPP, we're here.
All right, have fun learning. KF8S.
Well, look at that. So am I. I'm in the south parking lot.
I'm pulling into handicap. KGO.
In a minute. KPP.
Kelly, this is Marion's daughter.
I talked to her.
Yeah, they're the Brady Bunch. Between the both of them, they got like 16.
Oh,
Joe, you're sitting on your mic.
KSE?
ESF, monitoring. KSE, ESF, monitoring. Sierra Foxtrot 8, Delta Sierra Lima, 22. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Sierra Lima, this is my first ever transmission, checking out the antenna, over. KS8DSF monitoring. KF8 DRC from KF8 DSF. You out there, Jack? KF8 DSF, clear.
KC8 KTO monitoring. K8BB.
KAAUTQ monitoring.
Mike 6, Lima Hotel Kilo. Calling on Echo Link from the southeast of the United Kingdom.
KFHDQP listening in.
This is KCHDBC. Can somebody give me a quick radio check? This is KC8BBC. Can someone tell me if I'm making the repeater okay or not? Thanks.
Station calling for the repeater check. You're coming through pretty clear. You just got a little static in your background. KF8DPZ.
Thank you very much for coming back. We're just talking with a friend on SimpleX, and we've got a problem, and we can't tell if it was me or him. Just wanted to make a check. Thank you very much. KCBC clear.
Welcome. Have a good day. KF8DPZ clear. Radio check, KAAUGQ.
KAAUGQ, I believe you said. You sound great. KZAC.
Radio check, KF8DSL.
W8FU. Seems awful quiet out here today, Sean. Yeah, I hadn't really been listening. I went to breakfast with the fellas this morning, and then got home and got busy with some stuff, and this is the first I've been really paying attention to the radio. I'm out driving about. But, I suppose with the weather being as nice as it is, even with the drizzle, everybody's taking advantage.
It's been drizzling all afternoon here. I wanted to be outside. Well, I'm outside fixing tractors, but I'm in the barn with the doors open.
Hey, hold on one sec. I want to check something over on the other band. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, exciting stuff going on down there.
Oh, I dropped in on a conversation over on the GMRS side. Somebody was trying to figure out why the radio was doing something, and I mentioned them to go look at something, and then I heard them come back after you unkeyed, and I wanted to go ask if that fixed it. But it sounds like you got a whole bunch of other problems, so. And I ran into some traffic. Anywho, I didn't want to leave it hanging. Man, I got 10 Mile Road all tore up in center line, and somebody ran off the edge of the concrete into the part that they're digging out, and hanging over the edge. Crazy. But I'm almost to my stop here, so I'm going to get inside and get my forensics.
Alrighty. Well, have fun there. Good chatting with you. We'll be monitoring KF80 well.
Grandma wanted spaghetti tonight, so this is her favorite. So we'll go and do that. I like the place. They've got really good food, but wasn't feeling it. Oh, well. All right, back in a bit for the drive home. WNFU. Well, that was fast.
Hey, you got some takeout spaghetti there?
I did. Got some, oh boy. I have to find a detour around this wreck. Yeah, went to our favorite little Italian place. Got some pasta.
Yeah, I was actually down in that area last night. A buddy of mine that lives in Torrey, and I went to a concert in downtown Mount Clemens at the Emerald Theater. I haven't been there since my clubbing days in the 90s.
Well, I'm down there in Mount Clemens every day almost, and, well, every weekday. But I haven't been to the Emerald Theater in decades, I didn't even know it was still there. I worked down there. Good grief. But, where are you at again? I forget. How far is that a trip for you?
I'm in Birch Run.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's a hell of a cruise for you. Oh, well. Must have been something good.
Yeah, it's just kind of a weirdo band called Why Not. They mostly do Rush tribute songs, but they do a lot of their own stuff, too. They're a really good band. But surely nobody's heard of them.
Hey, there you go. Rush tribute band's all good. So I saw a video before I left the house about, I don't know, probably a couple hours ago. I was scrolling around, and you know how you're on Facebook, sometimes they have these little clips that just, you know, you can click on them and then scroll through them. So I got caught off on one. And I went by this this band. They were dressed up kind of like, the lead singer was dressed up like Elvis, and which I'm not a fan, but the name of the band is what got me. It's called Dread Zeppelin. And they started playing a Whole Lot of Love, but they did it kind of Elvis 50s style. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Well, I've actually I've seen one or two of their videos or something. Or I know I've heard of them before. I think I've seen one of their videos once before. Yeah, it's there's a bunch of bands doing kind of crazy stuff like that. It's kind of fun to see sometimes.
Yeah, theirs was clearly, they were trying to do something somewhat humorous. I mean, it was, they were good. And I suppose it has its place. A good tribute band that's actually doing it like the original, it can be fun in a different way. But the one that I saw that I really, now I could really pay to go see that is, they Postmodern Jukebox. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they will do all sorts of modern hits, and then they'll do them in all sorts of different styles. They'll do them in like reggae, swing, jazz, all sorts of different takes on modern hits, and the musicians are phenomenal. They really are, and the vocalists are really good too. So they don't mess around. I find that stuff's really good because it's very anachronistic. It's they're pulling something from today and really, really dropping a whole yesterday kind of thing. What is this? Why do I keep hearing approaching railroad crossing? Oh, I see. Aha. I don't ever run ways. I'm running ways for some reason. But I digress.
No, I never heard of them. That sounds interesting. I might have to go go look them up.
Yeah, one of the best. I think that it captures everything. You know, it captures the musicianship, the great vocals, it's the Booty song. What the hell is it? There's a modern song, and they do it in kind of a 40s kind of a style. I'll think of the damn name of it. It's all about the bass. That's it. Yeah, All About the Bass. Look up that one by Postmodern Jukebox, and I think that captures it. From there, you can look into their other stuff, but.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I will go look that up. Yeah, that Rush tribute band they have a bass player that is outstanding. I mean, he's the guy's perfect. The guy's perfect for that role.
Yeah, well, there's a few bands where you can't mess around with the bass, and that's one of them. I mean, there's a lot actually, but you know, if you're going to do a Rush tribute, you better have a pretty solid bass player. That's for sure. My God. And but I mean, all three were virtuosos. I saw an interview with Geddy Lee the other day. He was talking about how it worked so well for them, and. You know, and he said that all three of them decided right from the word go, right out of the gate, they decided there would be no who wrote this, who wrote that. All three would equally publish all songs. So everything by Rush is produced and, you know, written by and property of all three equally. And he says, and we never fought about that ever again. We never talked about it again. And he says, we liked each other. We truly cared for one another. And, you know, and he goes, we even felt bad. If it joking around, two of us would pick on the third, two against one, we'd feel bad. He goes, because, you know, we're Canadian, and we feel bad.
Yeah, I've actually read Geddy's book, My Effin' Life, it's called. It's a really good book, if you are into reading. I'm not a big reader, but I happen to come across that one and I read it. It's really insightful. Yeah, he says a lot of stuff like that. Like they were just like best friends, and they never fought about stuff like that, and it was just never an issue, which is a rarity for bands, especially from that era.
Oh yeah, so often with the bands we grew up with, you know, there becomes an ego thing with at least one or more of the members, and you know, and it gets ugly, and you know, people feel slighted. So no, I thought that was great, you know. But they were all virtuosos. I mean, they my God, they were three great musicians. You know, and when one of them was gone, that was it. It was over, right? You know, there's no going on without Neil Peart, right? But and the same was with Led Zeppelin. You had four guys that were just master craftsmen at their jobs, you know, at what they did. And when they lost Bonham, they just, like, you know, that's it. Led Zeppelin is over. There is no Led Zeppelin without Bonham. You know, and they were very harmonious like that. But they said they weren't friends, though, they were excellent workmates. They all came together, they worked, and then they all were very cordial and nice to one another, and then they all went home and had completely separate lives.
Yeah, I've heard that about Led Zeppelin. I haven't really studied them as much, though. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I have heard that they were not really best buddies outside of their music career. Which is interesting. That's certainly an interesting thing, but it worked, I guess, for a while anyway.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jimmy Page and Jones were session musicians, and You know, and they approached everything, you know, as like, you know, they were the best, you know, session musicians in their craft, and they come together and they do sessions and all that stuff, and they have a great time and then go home and go about their business. So, so yeah, I think Bonham and Plant were a little bit closer. You know, I think their wives were, from what I'm told. They've got a new movie that's out, and it should be hitting. You know, out pretty soon. It's brand new and it's in theater right now, but I think it's called Becoming Led Zeppelin or something like that. I am a Zeppelin fan, among many other bands, but that's one of my soundtracks of my youth. So you know, those always have a special place for one. But yeah, lot of good stuff out there. I'm looking to start to revisit some of it in vinyl, no less. Looking forward to it. All right. Appreciate you driving with me here. I'm pulling up, and I've got the food, so no point in having it sit out here on the passenger seat getting any cooler than it needs to.
My wife's motioning our dinner's ready, too. She did a turkey tonight, so it's kind of like Thanksgiving almost. But enjoy your pasta. Enjoy your night. Good chatting. KFA Day well.
All right, we'll catch you later. W8FU.
KF8DRC, Detroit Rock City. KF8AYL, are you out there, Jack? You're not coming in very well there, Station. I heard Kilo Foxtrot 8 Bravo Whiskey Foxtrot, I think, but lots of background static, very weak audio. Yeah, heart barely discernible. This is KF8AYL. Unfortunately, that was even a worse transmission. I couldn't make out anything you were saying. It was all background static noise.
This is Kilo Echo here. This is Uniform Oscar doing the mic check. Anyone hearing this?
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Whiskey Foxtrot, radio check.
Very weak, barely readable, bacon fry, bacon fry. KF8S.
W-A-E-A-P, KF8S.
Yep, that is I, that is I. I'm venturing out of the house for the second time this weekend. Grab some food. What's going on with you? Did you get your schedule switched back around, or?
Yeah, it was pretty much back to normal. Oh, am I really bad in the system? I'll switch to my node.
Oh, you're not too bad. You just dropped out one time. It's not too bad.
Okay, it must just be on the radio. I was like, I heard myself. It was really scratchy. Like I said, I'm back on my normal schedule. I woke up early today, you know, like 7:30 or whatever, but I went to bed really early as well, so that reset me, and I'm not sure how late I'll be up tonight, because I did drink like one of those Celsius drinks, so that might keep me up for a while, but yeah, it's been busy, you know, I gotta get, me being gone a week, a lot of things kind of got neglected, and I gotta, you know, unpack and all that stuff, but other than that, doing good. How's your
back? It's doing slightly better, but still really bad. So maybe about 30% better. So we'll see when the steroids wear off where it is. But I can barely walk short distances, so that's why I haven't really left the house. I haven't even left the bedroom. I've been pretty much just being a slug for the last couple days.
Well, that sucks. Well, yeah, I had trouble with my knee earlier this week, but that was just because I was twisting it incorrectly, stuff like that. But you don't have to tell me on the air here if you don't want. So you've been doing all the doctor stuff, though?
Yep. Yeah, took Friday off, and I said Monday's up in the air. There you know, Monday's up in the air, and maybe up in the air for the next couple weeks. I don't know. But I just needed to get out of the house, get some air. So that's what we're doing, just taking a little drive.
Yeah, the weather here, I want to say, is about the same as what it was in London. London was a little bit warmer. It was dry for a change. It was sunny over there. But over here, it's wet. But I still love this temperature.
Yeah, at like 3 o'clock in the morning, it was like 65 degrees here, and it's been like 65. It's like the temperature didn't change like all day, only a couple degrees, but 65 degrees at 3 o'clock in the morning is, that's pretty warm for this time of year. It's a daytime temperature, not like usually in the 40s at night.
Well, it's April, so hopefully we're done with snow. Rain, it's almost April. But hopefully it'll just be rain and get my grass growing and all that fun stuff. But I'm looking forward to the temperatures being this and warmer. That's the extended forecast, so.
Yep, so Gary did bring some warm weather with him. It was some pretty cold 20-something degree mornings there before Monday or Tuesday. So I haven't heard much of him out there. I haven't heard him on the note or anything. I'll have to give him a shout in a little while.
Yeah, I saw he was, I saw that he had his phone connected. I don't know if he was connected to us or the FBI. And I'm curious if he can hear my nose from where he lives, so I guess we'll watch later.
WADAP. Yeah, I told him about it. I think he was going to try. I don't know. When I talk to him tonight, he'll probably be, Gary will be out there at his usual time, probably. I'm by your old house, Dave.
Oh, yeah? You should go in the subdivision and take a picture of my old house. Something new.
It's weird, I Google Earth my old house, my parents' old house, rather. And when I went down to street level, it was, one picture was 2016, one was 2018, while it was still for sale. So, that's weird. Google Earth finally updated the aerial view of my condo, but if you go to street view, it's from 6 years ago. It's like, the street view hasn't been updated since like 2018.
Well, what you should do is go into Zillow and look at your address. If it's been, if it's been sold or anything in the recent years, it might be updated pictures.
Yeah, we sold the house in 2018, I believe, or 2019. So I doubt the person, I doubt if they moved out already. I'd be very surprised. But, the one picture, when you're approaching the house, the one picture showed my 2012 Chrysler 200 in the driveway. I mean, wait, my car's in the driveway. That's funny.
Yeah, I looked at my childhood home, I guess you'd call it that, and I saw some updated pictures of inside, and then I looked on the satellite view, and so some things have changed and some things stayed the same. I remember my parents put in like a screen porch in the backyard, and we used to have a pool. That was, when we moved out, they covered that. They got rid of that pool and covered it up fast. But it's interesting to see. I remember the yard being big when I was a kid, but, if I were to go there now, it would be really small. It's like when you're, same thing with the street. Like, I drove down the street one day, like a couple, maybe a month ago, and it's just like, wow, that street is so short. The Waltham. I remember as a kid just being like this long street, right? Because you had shorter legs, you were smaller, and you rode your not your 10-speed bike, but your dirt bike or whatever as a kid. But the snow hill is still, the sledding hill is still there. I was surprised. I thought they bulldozered it.
Well, when I visited my childhood home, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I went to Niagara Falls, and I went through Syracuse, and I thought that my street would be really short, or, you know, it would look different, all the streets would be different, but no, it was exactly my little brain remembered those streets to be exactly the same length and proportion. Nothing seemed different. Okay, I drove down the street to the main street, into town, went to my elementary school, and everything was like the exact, my brain recorded the exact distances, but nothing seemed, I know what you're talking about. You see places, you know, years later, and it looks so much bigger or smaller.
Yeah, Venus. Yeah, I just remember it was like, you know, if you're going to go to the end of the street, it would have taken you like, 15 minutes. But, you know, older, it'll take you like 5 minutes. And like, the park used to seem bigger than it was, like that central park area. I need to walk around that park one day. There's an access from Metro Parkway where you can, like, park by, like, the tennis courts, and then you can walk around the park. I bet you that park is really small now, too.
Magnolia Park. Remember St. Basil the Great used to have those carnivals there on 16 Mile. And St. Rene was the big Jesus. They put that big copper Jesus up. That was kind of creepy at the end of Dixon.
Are you talking about the Catholic Church, or are you talking about that one church that was by the park?
Well, St. Basil, the saint of the spices, that was on Metro Parkway. But on Ryan Road, like by 15 and a half, not Dixon, it was the next street down, they put that like 25-foot Jesus statue up. That was kind of weird. Kind of creeped a lot of people out when they did it.
Don't remember the Jesus statue. Did they eventually take it down?
No, it's still there. They put that up in the 80s. That was there right in your time that you were there. They put that up in the early to mid 80s. It's been there ever since. Google Earth it, man. Go down Ryan Road by 15 and a half by Grissom. It's just north of Grissom Junior High, which may be not there anymore. Anyhow, I'll be back in a little bit. WAEAP.
All right, I'll talk to you later. And yeah, Grissom, well, I don't know if it's a junior high or if it's a middle school. It's still there, though. Talk to you later. KFADA.
KF8DRC, KF8DSF. You out there, Jack?
KF8DRC, go ahead.
How you doing tonight, Jack? I was just down your way in Clinton Township this evening. Going to give you a shout down there, but we had to get back. It was raining, but how you doing tonight?
Oh, very good. How about you? I wasn't home anyhow. I was out over the family's house, a couple of houses, so I just got back maybe about an hour and a half ago.
Okay, yeah, we were down there for a birthday party at the place, the Hopcat. I've never been there, but Hall Road there in Clinton Township.
Oh, I see, yeah. I heard of that place, but I never know where is it. I don't go there a lot, that route, Roger.
Yeah, Roger, I've never even seen one before, honestly. Yeah, it's just too busy over there. You can't hardly see what's there, so much stuff. I haven't been down there in, oh, it's been a couple of years anyway, so. Anyways, yeah, I was sitting in the parking lot there, and I thought I'd get on the handheld and just see if I could hit a repeater there on the GMRS, and I was hitting the Detroit repeater, and I raised that guy up in Isabella Township there, or in Shepherd, I guess it is, that guy.
Yeah, I heard him out there. I didn't ask him back, but you know what? He's okay. What can you do? Anyhow, I put the SWR on the new antenna. The GMRS came up 1.5, and the vertical, which is Hazel Park, came up to 2 SWR meter.
Yes, that's what you said there. I don't know if that's going to be too good on your radio, but I guess what do I know? I thought it was always 1.3 and 1.4 when you start getting up in there, but if it's at 2, I don't think that's any good at all.
Well, I don't know yet, anyhow. So we'll see anyhow tomorrow.
Yeah, roger that. You're going to get your radios all tuned up and programmed?
Yeah, whenever. Probably next week, anyhow. I'll do that. But I still on the, which is not bad, on this TYP 390. And I have all these, you know, the other one, which is the Bullfink. AR-5, it works good too on that FBI.
Yeah, roger, you're sounding really clear tonight. The other night you weren't doing as well, so how is this thing sounding?
Sound good. Really sounding good. So, is it raining by you there, by chance?
Yeah, it pretty much rained all the way home from down there. And it's real dark, and you know, with that rain coming down, it wasn't easy seeing very, very clear at all.
You are 100% right. That's why, you know, I really don't like to drive at night, because it's hard to see. When you're a little bit higher from the car, you won't be able to see that, you know, the road. The road, when they all, like, you know, they put that black star on them, it's very hard to see. And that white lane, it doesn't help either.
Yeah, that's for sure. We even had a couple people drifting over in our lane there, and must have been tipping a few, I don't know. But yeah, I don't typically, I haven't got out too much driving at night since I've been home, you know, with the surgery and everything, so it's been a while, and it's been a while since I drove down in Detroit in that rat race.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? When I used to live in Oak Park, I never drove at night. Because, you know, whenever I go, you know, and it gets dark and all that, so I come home. I go on and listen to the radio. It's that, the Drake I had, I used to listen to it all the time during dark time, till it may be about 8, 9 o'clock at night. So I never got used to it. Then, you know, wherever I go, it's still daylight. So I got used to that. But now, you know, it changed on me. I need to drive at night sometime, not all the time, and see what happens. So I had to went to the doctor, the eye doctor, he said you're going to need the glasses, night glasses. So I said, okay. So I made one in Costco. They are very good. I'm telling you, I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, I can look at the traffic light. I can look at the roads when they wet and all that.
Oh, okay, so they give you something that kind of keeps the glare down, huh, with those glasses. That's what you need, because, like tonight, man, it was just horrible, you know, coming down 75 there in the rain, and like you said, a black top, and just, yeah, it wasn't good at all. My dad had that problem. He had cataracts and stuff in his eye, and he had to get shots every 6 months, but he had the same problem trying to drive at night.
You see, a year ago I had that problem, and I went to the doctor. He said he had to send me to another specialist, and they started giving me the treatment on just the right eye. They, about every, 2 months, I go get a shot in my eye, but now it's good, and now it's a lot better from before, which is it's been over a year now. So now they extended it all the way up like to 5 months or 6 months and all that. And this is KF8 DCR.
Yeah, this is KF8 DSF. Yeah, my dad has the same problem, Jack. That's sounds like the same thing there, but he had to get shots in his eye. And my goodness, I had to pick him up and drive him home, and he had those glasses that covers his eye up and that. But gosh, I hope I don't have to go through that. I just can't even think about having somebody put a needle in my eye. I just I can't stand needles.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you have to, really, you have to do it. But you know what? I don't know. To me, one day, I was eating, you know, those, not jalapeno peppers. Those, the skinny ones, very skinny ones. They really were hot. And really, I felt it, you know, in my eye, you know, one of the vines went a little bit up, you know, not up and down, but sideways. It looked like somebody juggled it. And I tell you one thing, it helped a lot.
Wow, that's interesting. Jalapeno peppers, huh?
Yes, and you know what? I Googled it. They said, yeah, it helps help your eye a lot. Those skinny ones, those like finger pepper. They're really hot. They're green. I mean, you can eat them. I eat like every day, 2 and 3. Sometimes I don't. And really, it made a lot of difference.
Interesting. Hey, what do you know about HF antennas?
I really don't know anything right now on them. And you know what, because, you know, we only have a, you know, we can go on HF with no problem. But I don't want to try it right now. I really don't want to try it because I got enough here, you know, to try, you know, from 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and all these repeaters. All these repeaters. You just can't, you know, you cannot sit home all day and talk on all these repeaters. And this is KF8-DRC.
Yeah, Roger that. I just, I want to get one up here eventually. And the guy here locally told me about I think it's called an Alpha. Oh, I can't can't remember the number on it, but it's about $200 through GX Engineering. And it's a dipole with the two wires, you know, you got a mount and then your two wire strands or what have you go in each direction there. I don't know too much about them yet. I'm still learning all this stuff. But he swears by it. Says it's a great antenna.
Yeah, but the equipment he got, it's already there, and your equipment, that's it. So that's all you need, you know, like your 5, your 6 centimeter, and you got your 10 meter, 15, 20, 40, and 80. They're all there, so. And the antenna you're going to buy, you just buy one antenna for all of them.
Yeah, Roger, that's the one he recommended. It covers all of them. It's called the Alpha DXCC. Is the model. About $200, but I don't know. I gotta figure out. I guess how I'm gonna get it up there in my property here, where I'm gonna put it. Am I sticking a tree or how am I gonna do it?
Well, I don't know how many watts that antenna is, but at least you're going to need 500-watt antenna to 700 to get out really good with that radio you got. It's a hell of a radio you got, let me tell you something. And you know what? And if you don't have the right antenna for it, you're not going to get too much out of it. And I know that. I have... You know, as you see my vertical out there, and I get out. When I go on a 40 meter, I hear everybody. I hear Middle East. I hear China. I hear whatever you name it. I hear from that. And I'm out there with 10 meter, 15, 20, 40, and 80. So I don't know about the SF. I would not do anything till, you know, you got to get 200-watt antenna is not going to do any good. You got to get better at 200 because what you had.
Yeah, this one's a 1,000-watt antenna, and it covers 10 meter, 15, 20, 40, and 80, and it's got a 82-foot total length span, I guess it is, so don't know too much about them, but that's the one he recommended anyways.
And how long he's been at hand?
Over 40 years, and kind of funny that he's a VE extra, and when I took my test, I had mentioned that my mother was part of the radio club years ago, and he knew my mother, and I was like, holy crap. I looked at this guy, I said, man, you know, you look pretty young to know my mom, you know, and he said he was... He was part of the club at 19 years old, so he's been around a long time.
Well, you know, what I would do, I mean, that's no problem, you know. I give you the name, but I'll do more. It's better to do more search on this antenna with the radio you got out there.
Yeah, Roger that. So yeah, we'll see. You got the tram up now, right?
Yes, I did. You know, I went. It didn't take me that long, really. I just pulled that the harvest down and put this up, and that was it. But the radios, they're both working. They're not getting warm, and they're doing a good job. I talked to Randall there by the airport, he said, you're sounding good. So I just left it alone.
Yeah, roger that. I'm interested to see what Eric says or on that SWR. You don't want to blow up that radio for sure. But you definitely sounded good. You always sounded good over there on GMRS. But, yeah, that radio was, or antenna was definitely sounding good today.
Well, great. Believe me, if I were to know this antenna, it does good, I would have bought it 3 years ago. I didn't know that. After I'd go out there and buy a GMRS radio, which is that was from, that's where I started it. But this antenna is good for both of them.
Yeah, did you happen to ask that Brian? I don't know if I remember his call sign, but I think he said he's running that same antenna for both GMRS and CAMSIGHT.
No, I haven't run into Brian. He was working today, so he did not come to the breakfast. So what can he do? He was working. Then Monday I won't be able to talk to him. I might talk to him Tuesday or Wednesday.
Roger that. Well, Jack, I think we'll free up the frequency here. It was a pleasure talking with you, as always. And we'll chit-chat again for sure. We'll talk at you later, my friend. KF8 DSF will be clear in your final.
All right, Greg, good talking to you on this side of the world. That's what I like to tell everybody. Catch you a little bit later. KF8 DRC.
KF8DSL radio check, testing your antenna.
KF8DSL, this is KF8DPZ. I read you loud and clear. Your signal is 5x9. WAEAP. Where are y'all to next?
Home. Yeah, we went and checked out the Pepperoni King, and it was as delicious as I always remembered it. So, yeah, went up to the Pepperoni King, and I got the best antipastos. I could make a meal out of just the antipasto.
I remember having that one time, yeah. It's a lot of meat.
Still 59 degrees out. I like this time of the year because you don't use much electricity or gas. Your heater's not running, neither is your AC. Your house just stays like 70 to 72 without touching it.
Switching radios, this is the Radtel on the speaker mic. How does it sound to you? It sounded pretty good to me.
It sounds about the same as it does on the internal mic. I don't know. It sounds good. It's got some audio depth to it. It doesn't sound tinny or anything. It's got some low end. It's not muffled, but it's got some good full range to it.
Yeah, I really like this mic. They made a different model of it. It doesn't have the Radtel logo on it and all that. I
and that one was supposed to have a volume control, but it was really just a resistor, like low and high, and it wasn't very much difference between the two settings. But this one here is good. Doesn't have that volume switch, but it's got a orange button on the top, and it's got a the normal side button, and either one can be used to push a tog. I thought maybe it would trigger the second band, the below band. One would be A and one would be B, but they're both the same.
I think I have a mic just like that, but it doesn't have a Radtel name on it. I think it says a Bree. Because you see those mics, like one design, like the Com Mountain. There's like 20 mics that look just like the Com Mountain. I think I have a Bree version of that mic that came with one of my radios. I'll have to take a look at it. But that orange button on the top sounds familiar.
Yeah, this one is thinner than the Com Mountain mic, so it's definitely a little bit different design. But it's a light microphone. It's not like heavy. And so I think it's a good mic. The thing is, compared to my Eilance, the volume isn't as loud, so I still prefer the Eilance for carrying around the house, especially with loud kids and all that stuff, because I really need it to be blasting to get over their voices and stuff. But when things are quiet, the Radtel's better.
Did you order that iRadio UV88 or Radtel RT880? Did you order either one of those?
Yeah, I think it's called UV98. I did. I ordered an iRadio UV98 because they were selling out like really fast. So I jumped on that. I go, well, it doesn't have the Radtel name on it, but it really is the same radio. The thing is, and I've noticed this, they come out with a intro model, which is very plain. And then, if you wait, another month, they will add on to it. They'll put, GPS in it and things like that. So I'm going to hold off. When they are going to eventually release the RT6D, which is that DMR radio. And I think I'm going to hold off on that one. I'm not going to get the initial one because they are going to come out with a GPS one, and it's going to be doing some other, they'll have APRS capabilities and stuff like that, and a little more useful if you have, the DMR, and maybe you'd use it for the regular stuff, the analog side too. But I'm curious about that one as well, and I found out that the DMR, they're not using the vocoder chip. They actually got some software emulation. They have a beefy CPU that can handle it. It's like a separate computer chip just to do the DMR, which is interesting because that means they could do other things with it, possibly like M17 or whatever.
Yep, that's true. Well, they seem to be the leader right now. Radtel seems to be the leader. Maybe the mother company is iRadio. I just think it's just different names for different markets. Because you see a lot of radios like that. But they appear to be the leader right now and really starting to come out with some stuff. And I don't know of any that have like that Facebook and Telegram page where they're showing all the prototypes and stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Or they may have acquired iRadio's brand. Maybe they did that. I don't know, but I think they're the same company, like you're saying. If you look at it, it's always a sticker, right? Where the Radtel logo is. It's always just a somebody put a sticker on there.
Yeah, and some radios, there's no sticker. It's like some really weird, like I've always investigated, like on radios, you know, how many different brands they are, and sometimes it's some really weird name, and they don't even have a sticker, it's just blank.
Yep, well, anyway, this is a wonderful time if you're an HT collector. It's a wonderful time to be alive, just because it's just fun. I don't know. She's got the perfect shelf. It will even accommodate radios with long antennas on it. You can put your radios in here. It's like hidden away and stuff. It cracks me up.
I don't know, I have like a nightstand, closet, drawer, I don't know what you want to call it, next to my bed. It's like as tall as the centerpiece on the bed. And it has like a half shelf inside of it, so all the radios with short antennas go in the back of the shelf, and then the ones with the long antennas can go in the front, because there's no shelf above it, so it's perfect. I got like the front row is all the long antennas, and the back row is just regular side antennas, but I got like 15 radios in there, no problem. Still room for more. Get my shortwave radios in there, too.
Yep, well, I mean, this is kind of a shortwave radio now, right? It just doesn't have a... Could you imagine if they got some, if they could get that band scope to also be like a waterfall? You know, you press the 5 button or whatever, it goes into the band. I would love that for shortwave, where it just kind of showed the whole like HF band. You can kind of see where the activity is and kind of hover over there versus having to change, you know, channel and all that stuff. But here's an interesting thing for you. I mean, speaking of shortwave, when I was in London, I was, like, trying to scan. Obviously, there was some radio blackout for shortwave, so I wasn't picking up very much crap for shortwave. I think I got a Romanian station. But they have no AM broadcast over there. I thought maybe they put it on a different, like, frequency set, but there is absolutely no AM in London. Like, they got rid of all their AM stations. There's plenty of FM, but there's no AM.
Contact.
Who cares? Well, I talked to the guy from England on Telegram, M7TLB or whatever his call is. He said that their spacing is 9 kilohertz on AM, not 10 kilohertz. But he doesn't live in London. And he also said that on FM, it could be an even or not number. Like, they could be like 101.1 FM and 101.2 FM, where here it's always 0.1, 0.3, 0.5, you know, 200 kilocycles, odd numbers.
Contact.
I know you're back. Who's back? Who cares? Who is that, Davian?
Alpha 8 Uniform Golf, okay.
Okay, back from, here you're out there. You were talking earlier. I didn't hear you. Didn't mean to, did I barge in, or?
Kilo Alpha 8 Uniform Golf, Quebec.
Go ahead, Station Uniform Golf, Quebec. Go ahead.
Excuse the interruption, gentlemen. Just testing out a new handy talkie here that I loaded with Chirp. Was wondering if we're hitting the repeater there in West Bloomfield. KAAUCQ, go ahead.
Very good. Yeah, I talked to you the other night. I remember talking to you the other night. Yeah, you're doing good. You're on the Warren repeater. We're linked together, obviously. So you're making it in the West Bloomfield, the 500 repeater, but I'm on the 600 repeater in Warren, and I'm in Shelby Township. But yeah, you're sounding good.
QSL. I think when we talked the other day, I was mobile, and I've got a little bit better antenna there. I'm sitting in the house right now with a rubber duck, so glad to hear that I'm hitting it. I won't tie you guys up, just was wondering if I was getting in there with at least a decent signal. Go ahead.
Hey, you're just about 100%. There's a little bit of hiss in the background, a little bit of noise, but very, very close to being 100% solid. You told me what radio you had. I want to remind me again what radio you had, and are you using a stock rubber duck or a longer high-gain one?
Well, if you're the gentleman I talked to the other day, I pulled the trigger on a couple of Redivis RT85s. They came in first thing this morning, and I've already been tinkering with them. Really nice radios. Go ahead.
That was me, sir. That was definitely me. This is Eric, W-A-E-A-P. And yes, I was the one that told you they had them on sale for $10 a piece at one time, but even if you can get them for like 30 or 40 a pair, it's still a great deal. But yeah, those are great radios. They have great sounding audio. It's a good, simple radio with a good receive. But yeah, they sound great. And I'm glad you enjoying them.
Okay, I remembered the Echo Alpha Papa, so I couldn't remember the prefix. But yeah, I was looking at them. I was disappointed that I missed the great deal. But all of a sudden, yesterday, they came up with a discount and a coupon, so I paid $14 a piece for them. I bought a pair. Go ahead.
Oh, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. That's less than a meal, a trip to Burger King. Yeah, that's like Dave said, isn't these great times? You can get a really nice HD for $15. That's insane. And, maybe you got a better antenna or maybe a charging dock. I don't know if mine came with a charging dock or not for that price for $10 each. I think it did, but some of them come with a programming cable and a longer antenna. So, yeah, you did good, man. You did good. $15 a piece is fantastic. Like Dave said earlier, it's great times to be alive for cheap HDs.
Well, actually, out of the entire array of HDs I have here, this is the shortest antenna, but seems to be doing a good job. Had the 1400 milliamp battery. It does not have USB-C charging, but it did come with a charging cradle. And again, for $14 a piece, I am thrilled to death. Appreciate the suggestion, and I will back out. I didn't want to, tie up the conversation, but wanted to make sure these things were getting out. Their chirp program for both 2 meters and 70 centimeters, and I'm going to have some fun with them. So thanks again, Eric, WADATKAAUGQ.
Very good. I just pulled up in the driveway, perfect timing. One thing I got to add, if you want a higher capacity battery with USB-C, look up a battery for the Radiodity GM30. It's the same shell. It's basically the same radio, but it's got different firmware in it. Radiodity GM-30. Those batteries come in bigger sizes, and they come with USB-C, so check those. I may want to get those down the road. Very good. Okay, I'll catch you later. Catch you in a little bit, Dave. I got to run in the house. I got some food I got to bring in. So everyone have a good night, and I'll be back in a few. WADAD.
All right, talk to you later, Eric, and good to see that you got the UV88 deal, because those are great radios. I mean, they sound great. They sound good. So, all right, I'm going to clear out, too. I'll be on the other one, Eric, in a bit. I'm just getting nighttime mode over here. KLA then.
73, you guys. Thanks for the contact. KLA-UGQ.
Kilo, Fox Trot, 8, 7, 0, Lima, radio check.